Last time on Jerry Terrifying Reed's Metal Gear Solid. Master Miller pounded out an African tribal beat on his punching bag. His husky died mysteriously. Something was wrong with his home security system. And then, there was some knockout gas administered. What will become of our beloved Master Miller? Will we find out? Will this chapter be longer than Chapter 3? No one knows until we read Chapter 4, which is what we're about to do. Chapter 4 of Metal Gear Solid. Snake eyed his surroundings and double-checked them with the map grid that appeared on the codec, which was strapped around his wrist. The cargo dock was in a hollowed-out cavern that was supported by metal latticework. There was an empty berth at which government supply ships could dock. The approximately 75-foot platform was dotted with large shipping crates, which were scattered across the place all the way to the freight elevator. The rest of the facility probably was built into the ground as well as in structures above the surface. Liquid had disappeared into the elevator, so that was obviously the only access to the surface level. Snake drew the Mark 23 Model 0 SOCOM from its holster and checked the chamber, locked and loaded. In Snake's opinion, there was no pistol with better accuracy and resilience than the .45 caliber SOCOM. The laser aiming module was particularly nice. Ironically, in a perfect world, Snake would never have to draw the thing. If everything went as smoothly as possible, not a single shot would be fired. Fat chance. Snake holstered the gun. It was time to make his move. He slipped around the water filtration tank and crawled under the large pipe running along the wall of the cavern. Some kind of vermin droppings lined the perimeter, and Snake frowned.
And Colonel, I see animal feces. Are there rats here? He asked.
Negative, Snake, Campbell replied. We already checked with vermin control. Those are droppings from brown mice. They're harmless. They won't bite. Apparently everyone who works in the facility is used to them. Be alert. We're picking up 4 guards patrolling the cargo dock. Where did Liquid go?
He popped into the elevator. It's amazing. Other than the difference in skin tone, the guy could be my twin.
Snake. He's going to be a formidable enemy. His codename is the same as yours, so you'll be evenly matched, more or less.
Yeah, but it will be the solid versus the liquid.
Right, Snake said. He continued to study the codec ground plan when he heard the sound of boots nearby. He froze and peered over the pipe to see one of the guards. The man was wearing a white snow camouflage uniform with a balaclava mask and was armed with a FAMAS assault rifle. The guard moved to the edge of the dock, looked across the water, and sneezed.
Snake crept behind him, said, "Gazoontight," and executed a silent stranglehold. The guard's neck snapped, and his weight drooped limply into Snake's arms.
Snake dragged the body behind the filtration tank and left it there. He heard more footsteps, so he slid under the metal unit, squeezing into the small space between the tank's outside lip and the platform. A soldier must have heard something, for he was walking carefully toward the edge of the dock. Snake rolled out from under the tank on the opposite side, stood, and stealthily inched his way around so that he was behind the guard. Another stranglehold, another dead guard. Snake dragged the corpse behind the tank, searched the man, and found a pack of commercially made American cigarettes.
Yuck.
Snake preferred a nicotine-based mix of chemicals and plant leaves that he had made especially for him. They were also somewhat smokeless, which was an asset on a mission. He'd been tempted to swallow a pack before leaving the submarine, but hadn't relished the thought of regurgitating them upon arrival. No, for smokes, he would have to depend on the usual on-site procurement, no matter how awful the brand that he found was. He took the cigarettes and slung the rifle over his arm.
Snake, Naomi Hunter here.
Yes, Doctor?
Just reminding you that the genome soldiers have highly developed senses of hearing and vision. They'll come running at the slightest noise. I suspect they're equipped with the same anti-freezing peptide I gave you.
That's not going to stop me from putting them on ice.
The colonel interrupted. "Snake, 5 minutes ago we launched a diversion to keep them from paying too much attention to what's happening at sea. Two F-16s took off from Galena and are headed your way. The terrorist radar should have already picked them up." Could that have been what Liquid Snake meant about swatting down flies? Time to move forward. Snake moved to the edge of the tank and then darted to the nearest crate. He stopped, listened, moved to the opposite edge, and dashed once again to the next closest crate. He continued in that way, sprinting from container to container, gaining yardage toward the end of the platform. When he was at the penultimate crate, he dropped to the ground and peered around the edge at floor level. The elevator had just descended and opened. The third and fourth guards were patrolling from left to right directly in front of it, on a path some 6 feet away from the last crate. There was no way to sneak behind the men, so Snake waited until they turned and began walking away from him. He bolted across the floor to the crate closest to the elevator door. There he waited a few seconds for the guards to turn again and walk slowly toward him. Snake could hear them muttering something about a storm. He surprised them by stepping out from behind the crate and standing directly in front of them. "Merry Christmas," Snake said as he delivered two powerhouse punches left and then right into the guards' faces. The soldiers plopped to the floor.
"I forgot to tell you, Christmas is early this year."
Snake took hold of one man's arms and dragged his body around the crate. He repeated the process with the other guard. As soon as the limp figures were stuffed tidily into a corner, a siren sounded throughout the complex.
"Great," Snake said. "Either they know I'm here or something else is going on. Colonel, I'm taking the elevator."
He stepped into the open cubicle and pressed the button for the surface level. The ride took less than 10 seconds. The doors opened to a massive space, the focal point being an Mi-24D Hind D gunship, residing in the middle of a landing pad. Snake looked up and saw that the roof, a sliding slab of reinforced metal, was retracting so that the helicopter could take off. Blocks of snow fell in from above. Snake could see that it was snowing heavily outside. He moved out of the elevator and slipped along the wall and into the shadows, avoiding the sight lines of two guards at the end of the platform. He crouched in the shadows as a female voice he didn't recognize spoke.
"Snake, weather conditions are bad. A blizzard is hitting your position just about now."
"Who's that?"
"Oh, sorry. Mei Ling here. I'll be monitoring the weather as well as your communications devices."
The roof had retracted completely, and the entire room lit up like Times Square. Guards moved out of the way as the rotor on the Hind began to rotate, building to speed in seconds.
"Colonel, there's a Russian gunship here in a state-of-the-art heliport, and someone's crazy enough to fly that thing in this weather?"
A good pilot can handle a Hind D in a blizzard. The machine was known for its agility and speed. Snake had heard that it was the most difficult combat helicopter to shoot down. Its offensive capabilities were formidable as well, as it possessed a Falanga P anti-tank complex and machine guns. The landing lights around the helicopter rotated in place and pointed upward, creating a tunnel of beams to guide the pilot off the helipad. Even though the beast was large for an assault chopper, it gently lifted into the air as if it weighed nothing. It wavered slightly as a pilot fought the strong wind, but whoever was flying the vehicle knew what he was doing. After a moment, the chopper was up, had moved out of the open roof, and was gone. Snake took a moment to light one of the cigarettes. As expected, the commercial stuff was horrible and nearly made him cough, but bad tobacco is better than no tobacco, so... Campbell said, "Snake?"
"Yeah."
Liquid Snake fancies himself an expert pilot. He has a big ego and probably would insist on flying it in lieu of anyone else. I suspect he's after our fighters. That means the diversion is working. Mei Ling commented,
"I'm surprised our pilots can fly in that storm."
Campbell answered, "The Air Force in Alaska is trained to fly in these conditions. They're some of the best, so to speak."
"Hey, you guys, I don't mean to interrupt this lively discussion, but does someone want to tell me where I'm supposed to go?"
Dr. Hunter spoke. "Snake, the DARPA chief, Anderson, was injected with the same GPS-transmitting nanomachines as you, so you should be able to track his signal with the codec. We're not picking him up yet, but you should be able to once you're further inside the complex."
He checked the device around his wrist and noted a faint signal. "He's on a different level," Snake said. "And he's a lot further inland. I've got to get into the bowels of this place." Mei Ling said,
"Then you'll have to cross the heliport, Snake. We see there's a lot of genome soldier activity in the place, so watch your back."
Snake grinned.
"There's another large space north of you. Looks like some type of hangar. You'll have to cross that as well to get into the main facility. It's crawling with guards, too."
"Great. Piece of cake," Snake said.